Harry, thank you very much for sharing. That is applicable to all of us, and it definitely is a good visual picture to go along with it. Anyways, I'm just going to share a little bit. One of my daughters encouraged me to listen to a sermon, and so I did, and it was really good. And in the sermon, there was an analogy given. And it was about how when we're on the computer, there's sometimes certain things where you have to click. Certain, there's like a list of buttons or characteristics or things you're looking for. Maybe it's a search that you're trying to do, and there's certain qualities of the search. And you can click, I want this one, I want this one, I want this one. And often at the top, there's a button where you can click and you can select all of them. Or there's another button that you can click and it clears all of them. And it was a good analogy when we talk about kind of what does the Lord, what's he looking for in us? And there's different things. And I say, oh, he's asking me to do this, I've done that. He's asking me to do this, I've done that. But yet, there's a button here that says clear them all. If you're missing one thing, it might clear them all. And you're like, well, I've got so many, but I look back and they're gone again. What happened? Maybe just the internet went down, it kind of refreshes the page, and all of a sudden, oh, they're all gone. What is it? And it was a really good analogy, and it kind of challenged me. And so here, I'm going to start here in Exodus, verse 30, chapter 33. And it's talking about God and his character. And his character is obviously the character that you and I should be shooting for. Our goal is to be conformed into the image of Jesus, who is the express image of the Father. And so we want to have the character of God. In Exodus 33, verse 18, it says here, Moses was talking to God. He says, please show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And I think he's giving us a glimpse of his character when we read that passage. In the next chapter, 34, verse 6, it says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, or it could be compassionate and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And so there's a certain point here I want to pick up on, and that is the word compassionate. God is compassionate. Do we view him that way? We need to view him that way. If we don't view God as compassionate, we're not going to probably want to come to him when we've messed up. But God is compassionate. There's a, it talks about how, it's in two places. I think it's in a psalm, but I think it's also in the book of Isaiah. And it talks about how a parent, when they have a child, it's in, right here, there's a verse. It's in Isaiah 49. You don't have to turn there, but it says, verse 15, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child? You tell me. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Absolutely not. Her body is made in such a way that she can't forget her nursing child, but also it's in her heart. She is totally consumed with their baby. Even when a mother comes to church often, and it's the first time, they're a little hesitant sometimes to let someone else hold them. And if they do, they're pretty aware of where that little one is, right? They're concerned about their little child. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? And the answer is no, they will have compassion. That's what parents do. And when I heard this, it kind of struck a tone with me. I've shared this before, but I remember when I became a father for the first time. And I noticed something that I'd never experienced before. And that was, I remember holding JL, was our firstborn, but with each of our kids. But for the first time, it was the first time I experienced it. I had this, I didn't know it was possible to have so much love in my heart for a little person that I've only really seen for a little bit. Like, how is it possible? I didn't have to work at it. I didn't have to say, God, help me to love this little baby. Like, it was just there. Like, I love this little baby so much. And I remember thinking there, as we got home, was it the next day or whatever from the hospital, sitting on the couch, thinking, how can I love somebody so much that I really don't even know? But they're my child. That is just a small glimpse. That's a small glimpse of the love that God has for us. He loves us. And that's important because that's his character. And that's the character that we want to have. So we can look here at a passage in, I'm going to turn to Matthew. Matthew 23. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. And in verse 23, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe, right, of mint and of anise and of cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy, some will say compassion and faith." So you can imagine on that list of things on the screen, all those little boxes you can click. Well, we got to, according to the law, they got to pay their tithe of the mint. Oh, we got that. Right? The anise. Oh, we got that. The cumin. Oh, we got that. But there's a few others there. Justice, mercy, or compassion, faith. Interesting. I wonder when Jesus was speaking these things to the Pharisees, was he's like, hey, you're doing fantastic on these three, and if the other three come, that'd be good, but if not, it's okay. That's not the tone I'm getting, right? He's saying something's missing, and if you're missing it, there's going to be a big problem. It's really important. You're missing the really important things, he's saying, the weightier things. Verse 25. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." So they're thinking, hey, look, we're looking good on the outside, right? I got my, I don't even know how to pronounce it, phylacteries, how do you pronounce those? They had all the right garb on, they may have had some things tied in their frontlets, they had certain things on their robes. They were looking really good on the outside. But he's like, verse 26, "Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." So is it bad that the outside was clean? No, but he's like, you're missing the whole point. The inside's got to be clean, and then the outside will come too. Look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 9. "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And Matthew arose and followed Jesus. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Think about that. Tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus. Why did they come sit with Jesus? What kind of character did Jesus have that people that were doing, they were not righteous in money matters. Most of these tax collectors were taking more than they should and putting it in their own pocket. Most of these people, these sinners, what were they doing? They were involved in sins that probably people in the community all knew about. Why do I say that? Because it says the Pharisees knew who these people were. They knew that these were sinners. And yet these very people felt somehow that they could come to where Jesus was. What kind of character did Jesus have? It says, when Jesus, it says here in verse 11, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well,'" "'those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy," or the NASB says, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So here the Pharisees were, they had a few boxes checked off, but they were missing justice, faith, mercy, or compassion. They were missing these things. And I don't think Jesus was super well pleased with them from what he's saying. As a matter of fact, I think it was the clear all box that got clicked. And so all those other things really amounted to zero because they missed the most important things. A lot of those other things are good, right? Giving money to the poor, reading our Bibles, coming to church, doing all those things. But do we have mercy? Do we have compassion on others? Are we people like Jesus was that even though maybe they're involved in things they ought not, they actually feel comfortable coming? Who do you view God to be? Is he a compassionate God? Moses wanted to see him. He wanted to get a glimpse of his glory. And what did God give him? That he was merciful and compassionate. That's what he wanted him to know. And that's what we need to know. Otherwise, when we're practicing some kind of sin, does he want us to stay there? No, but why are we going to come to him? Because he's merciful and compassionate. God, I've messed up. God, I'm struggling. God, I've had a problem. I said something I shouldn't. Lord, I'm bound in this area. Lord, help me. If we come to Jesus, he's not there to condemn us. He is merciful and compassionate. And that's the character we need. In Hosea 6:6 is where this is quoted. This is where Jesus quoted it from. It says, For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. What's he saying? Mercy sometimes can be faithfulness, depending on your translation. Faithfulness. Jesus, in the New Covenant, the Greek word that he used there, it's compassion. Right? He wants us to be faithful to his character. And his character is compassion. Do we have compassion on others? I looked up this Greek word, and this is what it said. It's eleos. I'm thinking eleos. Isn't that tied into one of God's names? I could be wrong. I should have looked into that. But eleos was the Greek word. And it says here, mercy. It's a kindness or goodwill toward the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. Why was Jesus sitting there with his disciples and quite happy to have the sinners and the tax collectors coming to eat with him? Because he had compassion. He had eleos. He had goodwill toward those that were in bondage. For what purpose? Joined with a desire to see them get help, to be free. That should be our desire. So is our desire that we're just going to spend time with sinners just to have a good time? No, it's because we should have a compassion toward them. We're looking for an opportunity to give them hope. We want to help them in some way. We talked about that on Friday, even just about the desire of seeking to confess his name or to share the good news. And I was thinking, you know what we need more than anything? Because we can go and we can give out tracts and we can say the name of Jesus. We can preach on the street corner. But do we have compassion? That is the most important thing. If we have compassion, that's how we're going to be able to actually share with others. What's this compassion? The compassion to help those that are hurting with the desire to see them do better, right? To help them become free, to know Jesus. That should be in our heart. And that's going to be happening how? Sometimes it's going to be by stopping on the side of the road and helping somebody that needs something with their vehicle, whatever it might be, taking time. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know. I go for jogs, and I see this one guy walking around the park in the same bare feet with sandals on in the winter and the summer. And I know his name, but I'm like, Lord, how do I help this guy? Like, it's crazy. So the other day, I just run by, and I say his name. The other day, I stopped. I walk. How are you doing today? It doesn't really go anywhere. I'm like, Lord, help me. But how do I help? Lord, I want to have compassion like Jesus would have compassion. Because I'm thinking, this guy, I don't think he has hope in Jesus. So, Lord, fill me with compassion for him, just like you have. That is what we need to have. And so I was thinking, that box at the top that says clear all, I think it's going to get clicked if we don't have compassion. We might read our Bibles every day. He might have set us free from certain sins. But if we don't have a compassion toward others, we're missing it. It's not those other things are bad, but we want to have compassion like God had compassion toward us and his heart toward us. In the same way, we want that heart toward others. And so I'll leave you with that thought today. I was challenged and encouraged by that.